WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has some thoughts on the language of postmodernism, a movement that is a reaction to and a comment on all that's come before.
This is, they say, the postmodern age. Postmodernism is about self-reference, about distance and irony. It is about the architecture of Michael Graves and Philip Johnson, which wears its mock Egyptian columns and Chippendale rooflines the way Steve Martin wears an arrow through his head. It is about TV shows like Moonlighting, with its studied homages to the styles of 40s movies, and its self-conscious references to its own writers and directors. It is about retro design, as trendy homeowners gut the interiors of the Victorians to resemble the bar of a 50s bowling alley. And as much as anything else, postmodernism is about all those rampant new uses of the preposition about itself. About is a very important preposition for those of us who spend our time reflecting on language and meaning. It's the word you use to describe the relation between things that tell stories and the things in the world they describe. You can have a sentence about trout fishing, a book about nuclear disarmament, or a film about Vietnam. But what does it mean when somebody writes in the San Francisco Chronicle, "A $150 designer teapot isn't about making tea. It's about letting people know that you have $150 to spend on a teapot." In the old days of pre-postmodernism, we thought of a teapot as being for, not about. But in the postmodern age, everything is interpreted as a text about something else. We live, as Roland Barthes would have said, in an empire of signs. About is not the only language word that's been co-opted by the postmodern sensibility. A house that once would have been called old-fashioned is now vernacular or idiomatic. A store in Washington, D.C. advertises bathroom products that make a statement. And then there's metaphor. In the past few weeks, I have read that football is a metaphor for war, that looking is a metaphor for shopping, and that baking, tail fins, and rock music are all metaphors for sex. If you want a sustained example of the effects of postmodernism on the language, take these lines from a recent review by Kay Larson in New York Magazine. Nancy Graves' new work is a bold statement about the new relationship between sculpture, science, and nature. The twists and turns of her career have not changed her argument, which is now even more expressive. There would be nothing wrong with this if Nancy Graves were a critic or historian, but in point of fact, she's a sculptor, and what Larson calls her argument is constructed out of painted bronze. Now, I don't think you can dismiss this kind of talk out of hand. It's undeniable that a lot of modern culture is indeed highly linguistic, in the sense that it acquires its meaning by self-conscious reference to other works and other styles. It's fair enough to say that Andy Warhol's work was primarily about. Certainly it wouldn't mean a whole lot to somebody who had never seen Marilyn Monroe or a can of Campbell's soup. And as the French Marxist writer Jean Baudrillard has observed, the postmodernist sensibility is a natural outgrowth of a modern consumerist culture. If you want to understand why people will pay a $20 premium for the right to wear a little polo pony on the breast of their T-shirts, you have to acknowledge that the pony is a kind of linguistic abbreviation for all of those luxurious interiors in the Ralph Lauren ads. But if you take the sensibility too far, it becomes both brittle and a little sad. If everything in the world has to be read as a reference to something else, then nothing has any authentic value of its own. The semiotician and novelist Umberto Eco once described the problem aptly as follows. In the postmodern age, you cannot say simply, "I love you." You must say, "I love you," as Barbara Cartland would say. It would be well to realize that some things are not about, they just are. Not every teapot contains a narrative, and not every picture tells a story.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.